First, a growing wave of teacher strikes appears to be gaining momentum in the United States. This year alone, teacher strikes have taken place in California, Denver, and West Virginia. And some believe more could be coming soon.
Teacher frustration is nothing new, but why are so many of these strikes and protests happening now?
Paul Revel is a professor of practice of educational policy and administration at the Harvard Graduate School of Education. Paul, thanks so much for joining us today.
My pleasure. Good to be with you, gentlemen.
So we've seen teacher strikes all around the country, some statewide, some limited to certain districts. Of course, each one of these is unique, but are there issues or policies that are common to a lot of these strikes?
Well, I think the most common issue is the level of funding in education as it translates to teacher compensation. This is certainly where some of these strikes had their origins. For example, the original strike in West Virginia last year, where over the years, state governments, in particular local governments, have been cutting back on their capacity to finance schools. That translates, schools' budgets are 80% people typically, so that translates into frozen or declining salaries and benefits for teachers. And given the fact that the overall economy is surging, and social media has the capacity to connect teachers, I think a number of teachers, particularly in the states that have been most unfriendly to teacher organizing in the early stages, decided to come together and say enough is enough. We've had enough. We're fed up. We won't take it anymore. And we need to be able to make a decent living as a teacher. You had teachers working two and three jobs to support a family, teachers on food stamps in order to feed their family, things of this nature that had just gotten intolerable. And I think once one or two of these strikes was successful, it sort of lit a brush fire and gave confidence to teachers in other places that the time had come to push harder.
It seems like strikes and walkouts by their nature are sort of motivated by lower pay, maybe not so great working conditions. And as you said, we've seen that with these initial teacher protests. And I'm curious how that's evolved over the past year or so, because now it seems like we're seeing some protests that are more aimed towards policy. Can you talk about that evolution that we've seen?
Well, the strikes have shifted from coming in states where the level of teacher organization and labor laws were such that teachers' unions did not have much power, or, as in West Virginia, the teacher salaries were negotiated at a state level. Now it's moving in. For example, in Los Angeles, you're in a district where, comparatively speaking, salaries are relatively high because the cost of living is high there. There's still financial issues in that strike, and those financial issues got settled in favor of the teachers. But there are a host of other issues on top of finances that, again, I think, given the rising confidence of teachers that they could have impact in the current political climate, have been pushed to the fore. So charter schools were on the list of concerns that were raised there. In Denver, it's not so much the amount of compensation, although that factors in. It's the way in which teachers are being paid. In other areas, it's matters of class size and things of that nature that have historically been included in contracts, but in some places have not been included in contracts and therefore become subject to focus in some of the strikes.
We're talking with Paul Revel right now. He is a professor of practice of educational policy and administration at the Harvard Graduate School of Education. We are talking about teacher strikes in California, in West Virginia, looking at what spawned this movement and potentially what's ahead. And Paul, these teachers that have walked out, whether it be in West Virginia or California, have these protests largely been successful in favor of the teachers? Have they been getting what they've been asking for?
Yeah, you'd have to say for the most part they have been. The teachers have been successful. I mean, they were successful last year in West Virginia, and they're back at it again this year. Some hostile legislation was introduced, and the teachers felt compelled to rise up. And even as part of the hostile legislation, there was some teacher raise money included, but the teachers were sufficiently upset about other provisions of that legislation that they rose up. So I think that success is breeding more activity here, and that the initial strikes have been successful. I mean, the general public values teachers, and voters and taxpayers tend to tend to be sympathetic to teachers. And when these strikes bring to the forefront some of the realities of teacher pay and teacher working conditions, the general public tends to be sympathetic, and therefore legislators or policymakers or school board members feel compelled to make some movement where before, when this wasn't so much on the public's agenda or in the public's view, they could get away with not doing much.
I'm also wondering, too, we've heard stories recently. I know here in Wisconsin, the state has been dealing with somewhat of a teacher shortage, and some people think that some of that comes from maybe compensation. Some believe it comes from the way that teachers have been regarded by politicians and some of the policies that has been enacted. And so, you know, some believe that this teacher shortage has emerged out of that. And I'm wondering if things like these strikes perhaps might be motivating for those considering education as a possible career.
Well, I think, you know, the elements that you mentioned are certainly factors. This is not, we're not making teaching a very attractive profession when you have to work two jobs and get on food stamps in order to support your family in order to be a teacher. And teachers are regularly giving up their own money in order to support, students and activities that they'd like to do in the classroom. We don't generally, compared with other societies, hold teachers in very high esteem in terms of the status and prestige that we give them in our society. The demographics are tapering off in terms of people going to college and therefore graduating from college. We're in something close to a full employment economy in a lot of places around the country. So we are looking at shortages. We're looking at a lot of people retiring in the field of teaching and not that many people lining up to come back into the profession. And that should give cause for concern to all of us, because obviously education is a vital function. And in fact, part of the reason that we have this whole movement going is that we've taken education for granted for a long time. And in many of our states, we've decided that economic development incentives to companies and things of that nature are more important. I know you have some experience with this in Wisconsin, are more important than investing in our human capital development system called education. So we've provided a lot of tax breaks, we've kept taxes down, and the chief victim of that strategy have been public schools and the children they serve, because those budgets have been flat or declining in many states over time, and this has resulted in teachers being shortchanged, and now they're rising up and saying we can't take it anymore.
Has there been any significant pushback to these protests? I know you said that teachers and their demands for better pay, better conditions seem to play well with the public, but have we seen any kind of pushback in terms of the public or with politicians as well?
Not really. I mean, people are worried about their budgets, their state budgets, so people who are conservative about how much can we commit from the budget, we've been trying to hold the tax rate down. Where are we going to get the revenues to pay the teachers the additional money? You don't have many people lining up and saying, you know, you're already paid enough, that's fine, you'll be fine. But it's more, can we afford this? It would be great to do it. So the pushback more manifests, at least in the early stages here, about issues of affordability, whether or not the raises can be afforded. When it comes to some other areas, for example, in Los Angeles, you have the charter school issues, so you have, you know, virtually a civil war within the education sector over charter schools. So there are people in favor of choice and people opposed to choice, and you have also a lot of experience of that set of battles in Wisconsin, I know. And so those kinds of issues will surface as forms of pushback. You will get pushback over issues like class size, because the research on class size does not always indicate that smaller class sizes are necessarily better. It really depends on what size you're talking about and what age and what are the description of the students involved. So, but on the whole, the public reception to these strikes has been very sympathetic, and in consequence of that, policymakers have basically been acceding to the requests.
And briefly, Paul, as we start to wrap up, where do you see this movement going in the next year or so?
Well, I think teachers are feeling their muscle, and to the degree that they're being successful in the field, I fully expect to see more strikes or more labor actions. In other words, more pressure on local officials to raise local revenues and state officials to raise state revenues. I would hope that we see a restoration of education and education funding as a prominent public issue in some of the campaigns in the future. If you look at the last presidential campaign, there was virtually no mention of K-12 education, very seldom mentioned by either candidate from either party. And I think education is coming back onto the public agenda, and the most prominent manifestation of this, at least in the short term, may be these teacher strikes.
Paul, thanks so much for joining us today.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me with you.
Paul Revel is a professor of practice of educational policy and administration at the Harvard Graduate School of Education. He was with us to talk about some of the high-profile teacher strikes we've seen across the country.